This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long running things behind the scenes, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, he writes for Sports Illustrated, also the Monday morning quarterback, Gilberto Manzano. Gilberto, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. One thing with quarterbacks today, if they pick you in round one or round two, man, you ain't redshirt. You play it unless you hurt. You got an opportunity to talk to Tyler Shuck. And your first impressions of Tyler and how well he's handled the NFL experience so far.
Yeah, you're right. You know, if you're a first or second round pick, you better be ready to play right away. And, you know, speaking of Tyler Shuck, you know, at the NFLPA rookie premiere in Los Angeles, like, you could see why Kellen Moore and the Saints front office, you know, took a chance on him, and obviously he's pro ready with the 7 years of college experience, and you know, kind of had this long journey of injuries, and you know, being Justin Herbert's back at Oregon to three tough years at Texas Tech to breaking out at Louisville. But you know, honestly, you know, I think that might be a good thing for him. I know people worry about the durability and the past injuries, but to go from a point where you thought you might not play football again to fight back, to make it in college football and break out the way he did last year, to possibly being a week one starter in the NFL, like, it kind of just shows you how hard work pays off. So I think for him to overcome adversity, especially in a year where the Saints are kind of going through, you know, we'll see if it's a full rebuild, but it feels like we're heading for a rebuild in New Orleans finally, and the post-Brees era and Sean Payton. It took a lot of years, but maybe in a way, Derek Carr retiring out of nowhere is a blessing in disguise, because you give the rookie a chance to prove himself. You give the rookie head coach a chance to prove himself in a season when it's full of adversity and playing from behind, because you don't have, you know, a veteran quarterback. So, you know, going through all the experience that he went through, you know, it might be good for him. You know, I know people are talking about the Saints being potentially the worst team in the NFL, but sometimes you got to go through obstacles to prove yourself. And even if the Saints have some tough months, if Tyler Shuck is playing well and battling, you know, week in and week out, that's very promising for the future of the New Orleans Saints.
Well, Gilberto, I can tell you, no, we're not going to be the worst. I'm not saying we're going to be very good, but I'm telling you, I would be shocked if we're the worst. Now, I'm nothing to write home about when you win six or seven games, because, well, what is that saying? Still a losing record. But no, Gilberto, I'd be extremely disappointed. Who that nation? No. We would hold the organization's feet to the fire. We're not going to be the worst. We're not going to be the worst. That's just my opinion. But looking at Tyler Shuck, and you know, he talked about his injuries twofold. I think it makes a difference if you have a soft tissue injury versus broken bones. You can break a bone, I'm telling you, that's no big deal. You know, 4 to 6 weeks, you're ready to roll, the bone heals and all that. It's when you have like a shoulder or a knee injury. I'd be more concerned what happened to Drew Brees, is he was damaged goods with his shoulder. Then we all know what he did in a Saints uniform or anything. When you're dealing with like ligaments and your elbow, shoulder and all that. But as far as broken bones, that's why, to me, I'm not, it's just bad luck. And Tyler Shuck, that was important that he had that full season in Louisville, how he produced. But also, when they want to say, I don't know, he's old, but he's 26, 27 years of age. Well, if we can get 10 years out of him, the way they don't hit quarterbacks, he'd be only 37. I finished playing like when I was 37. So when I look at that, they make the age to me too much of a thing. I'm like, who was the quarterback I'm thinking at Florida State that was 29 with Carolina? Chris Winkie. He ain't no damn Chris Winkie. You know, Chris Winkie was too old. Tyler Shuck, to me, is not in that category.
Yeah, you know, you make some good points there. I know he had the multiple collarbone injuries. And I don't think it was the same injury, but it's just bad luck. And if you're able to overcome that, and perfect example there, Drew Brees had this, you know, supposedly career-threatening shoulder injury, and they took a chance on him, and the rest is history. So you never know how these things play out. Even Justin Herbert had a couple collarbone injuries at Herbert. So, you know, sometimes you get a couple injuries. People want to say you're injury prone. Maybe it's just bad luck. You can never prevent injuries. But having that breakout year at Louisville and just seeing how some people, some of the smartest people who cover the NFL, the way they raved about Tyler Shuck for that 1 year, I get it's 1 year, but let's not forget all the experiences that he had at Oregon and Texas Tech. Like, he wasn't there doing nothing. He was still learning. Right. The systems, coaching staff, getting to know players, things like that. So, you know, I think that those matter. And then getting up when people are saying you're done with football, or you're going to keep getting hurt, or you keep transferring, or you're too old to become a second round quarterback, I think says a lot for them. And I'm sure the Saints already knew something about Derek Carr. Like, hey, Derek Carr might not be here, so we got to get the right quarterback here. And for him to go ahead of, you know, Jalen Milroe or Shedeur Sanders says a lot about what Kellen Moore and Mickey Loomis thought about him. But yeah, the injury thing, you can't really, you can't prevent it or stop it. The age is what it is, but they need a quarterback to play right now. And his biggest thing is pro ready. I'll say this, and it seems like you guys are also keep it real on this show here, because it could be bad, but they might not be bad. We'll find out. But, you know, the upside maybe might not be there. We get it. Maybe Sanders had a little more upside. Obviously, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, who went ahead. But the floor is very high, and you need somebody to be ready at the gate. And we've seen the pattern in the NFL. Brock Purdy, you know, played 5 years in college, I want to say. Jaden Daniels, who played 3 years at Arizona State, 2 years or 2 years at LSU. That's what it is. Like, you need to be ready. Even guys like Cam Ward, who had a battle from being a zero star recruit to going to Washington State to make it a name at Miami. So I get it. Maybe that the ceiling is not that high, but sometimes you're in the right system, the right scheme, the right coach. I think Kellen Moore is a great coach, proven track record, and you got weapons in Kamara and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. So all that matters. So I get it. We want to rank quarterbacks and call them game managers or whatever. But if you're winning and you're doing well, you get paid like Brock Purdy just did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the things, Gilberto, I was going to – because I know where you're situated at in California. If the Eagles don't want to have anybody on their schedule in the NFC Championship game, it's the Rams. And so they have sort of set this up where – you can see where, that game last year in bad weather, it was snow game. Come on, the Rams ain't used to that. They went toe-to-toe with the Eagles. And for a while at the end, Steve Geller, who's the biggest Eagles fan we got around here, I was like, man, this might be tough. They had him for a little while until Jalen Carter kind of took over the game late in the contest. Is this been a sort of – a lot of chips in the middle. We think we got enough to beat the Eagles. And look at the progress of their early round picks of Fisk and Jared Verse of a year ago. And then you bring in Davante Adams.
Yeah, you know, I'll start with the negative before I go to the positive for the Rams. I think the Rams are going to have a good 2025. But, like, you know, people like to say they kept it close with the Eagles. And, yeah, the Eagles blew out the Commanders in the NFC title game. They blew out the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's great. But for most football players, if you allow a running back to gash you for 200 yards twice in a season, that really hurts your pride. So I know they only lost by a play, but to allow that 200 yards, when you have a good front, you mentioned Fisk and Jared Verse and Kobe Turner, you definitely got to shore up the defensive front. And I get it. The interior guys are very talented, Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk, but at some point you can't be just a pass rusher. You got to stop the run. So Puna Ford came in to help out. I don't know if they have enough there to stop guys like Saquon, because they like to play small ball, but I'm not going to criticize Les Snead too much, because he won a Super Bowl and been very competitive the way he operates. So I'm going to give that team the benefit of the doubt. But overall, offensively, when you got Matthew Stafford, you got a coach like Sean McVay, you add Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, all the defensive front guys we just talked about, like, you got pass rushers too, you're always going to have a chance. So all the ingredients that you need to be competitive, they check it off. The only thing is I think they maybe don't have enough guys in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. What the Eagles have is offensive line, defensive line. That's why they won the Super Bowl. So I think people like to kind of, you know, focus on the skill players. I know I'm being a little harsh here on the Rams, but
right.
To me, they had to do a little more at linebacker and a little more on the offensive line. But I think, without question, they're probably a top four team in the NFC. It's just, to me, are they kind of the same team from last year where they maxed out at the second round, or are they a legit Super Bowl contender? And that's where I'm having a debate, you know, within myself. But I added Davante Adams could definitely set them apart. And I think Sean McVay could do wonders with him.
Now, Gilberto, you talk about being a little harsh on the Rams. Okay, I'm going to be a little harsh, and I want you – I think you'll give your honest opinion. If you could be a little harsh on the L.A. fan base, okay, what I'm bringing up. So let's say the Rams are relevant. The Chargers are relevant. Look at expectations there with Coach Harbaugh. Because I know if the Giants and the Jets were relevant, everybody wants to be in that number in New York. So let's say the Chargers and the Rams – are amongst the best and they're relevant. Do they get this fan support? Or is there so many people, it's like limited? If they keep winning, then I'll go to the games. If not, I'll do something else.
Yeah, I don't know if because I'm a little older, I'm not out on the streets anymore. I'm not at the party scenes a lot, or driving around too much. I like to work from home and keep to myself. But I remember those Laker days with Kobe Bryant in the early 2000s, or even just not too long ago with the Dodgers a couple of years. Actually, last year, they won the World Series, but they've been good for the last 10 years. But When L.A. has the Dodgers and the Lakers, you get that sense of atmosphere like, wow, these are our teams. This is what we care about. You
right.
see flags all over. But the football teams, it just hasn't been that sense. And the Rams won the Super Bowl in 2021. And when they got to the playoffs, you got that, you know, a little bit of a vibe there. But it didn't feel like the Laker days, or it doesn't feel like like right now the Dodgers are number one in L.A. And I don't think even if the Dodgers or Lakers stink, it's always going to be a 1-2. Maybe USC football.
Well, yeah, USC football. That's going to say, Gilberto, it seemed like this is going way back now. That USC football, you know what it's like? I compare it to here in Louisiana. We don't have a Major League Baseball team. LSU is our Major League Baseball team, but USC was like their pro football team. Even when the Rams left, they went to St. Louis or whatever. The Chargers go from San Diego to L.A. But USC, to me, was now UCLA now and then the football program, but USC football to me was like their pro team, even when the Raiders were in LA.
Even the Raiders right now are still the most beloved pro football team in LA. Like when they were here, they had a good way of kind of connecting with the culture and the people and the diverse communities here in LA. So even with them in Las Vegas and Oakland and all that, they are still kind of the number one team, but. You know, I think the Rams are on the right track to keep winning year in, year out. And, you know, I think it's going to take like a player who is not just a generational talent, but maybe like a superstar household name. And I think Shohei Ohtani is doing that here in L.A. So somebody that you bring up the name, you don't watch the sport. You don't watch the games every
but
day.
But you know who that is.
Every Sunday. Yeah, you know the name. And I think that's what L.A. wants. They want star power. So, you know, you're kind of seeing it right now with the New York Knicks, who I think are about to get eliminated. But, you know, all the celebrities came out. All the New York fans, you know, were very prideful. You need something like that where you want to build that. Like, you know what, when they're good, I want to watch them. But, you know, the Rams left for about 30 years to St. Louis. The Chargers, it's going to be a long battle because they've always had that kind of San Diego smell to them. And San Diego and L.A. are rival cities. And they're not too far away from each other. But they got Jim Harbaugh, and I think when you have a high-profile head coach like that, it puts you in the news and the headlines. But the Chargers have a long way to go because of that history in San Diego. And with the Rams, just keep winning every year, and they might win this year. We'll see. Keep building star power because that's just the way it is. It sounds bad. It sounds like very bandwagon, fair-weather fans, but you got to have superstars to have a team that's support in L.A.
You know, Gilberto, you bring up like Harbaugh, and obviously, if you know football, you know who Coach Harbaugh and. Look, his brother, highly successful with the Ravens, John Harbaugh. But you know who could be the second coming of Sean Payton? And he's the youngest NFL coach, Kellen Moore. I'm telling the Hoodat Nation, if the Saints don't win, it's not because the coach. You might say, oh, Bobby, he's never been a head coach. I'm just telling you his mannerisms. I just watching only a couple of practices now in OTAs and how he goes about his business. I think he's a younger version of Sean Payton. Now you got to go out there and do it. But I'm a Kellen Moore fan. I'll tell you, if the Saints don't win, I said, man, I don't think it's the coaches, the players. And you know, because I think you give them the right players, Kellen Moore could be one of those coaches, how we put Sean Payton and Drew Brees on a pedestal. Kellen Moore could be that individual, I think, in New Orleans. Now we got to wait and see how this would play out, the, you know, half a dozen years, a decade, whatever. But I think they got the right coach in Kellen Moore. I've been thoroughly impressed how he handles himself and the football. He is like, seems like he was born a football coach.
Yeah, you know, Kellen Moore, you know, I've been very critical of the GM, Mickey Loomis. Maybe you guys have too. He's been there for a long time, and it's been very frustrating for the Saints since Sean Payton and Drew Brees stepped away. And it's been Mickey Loomis kind of his common denominator there in New Orleans for why they're not winning. So, you know, Kellen Moore has to, you know, somehow, you know, he has to figure out a way to say, you know what, this is what I need. Mickey Loomis, you've been here for a long time. Can we be on the same page? Can you do it my way? Can we change something here? Hopefully he got that kind of freedom to say, you know what, I need these guys. I get that you get paid to pick players, but it's not going to work this way. You got to give me the players that I want. So hopefully for a young head coach, he's able to do that because they're not going to get very far without that, you know, that connection between GM and the head coach. But in terms of the X's and O's, I think for Kellen Moore, it might have helped out that he went away from the Cowboys or had some down years with the Cowboys because he was kind of this golden child. Like Jerry Jones said, he's going to be the next guy. And then actually he's not the guy. And he goes to the Chargers and they struggle there for a little bit. And then he goes to the Eagles and they win the Super Bowl. Like for a while, we thought Kellen Moore, we thought he's going to be somebody, but he's not. It's so funny how you change so quickly the narrative in the NFL. But now he's his hotshot coordinator who's kind of been proven in multiple stops. I like that. Working with Jalen Hurts, working with Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, these are all different style quarterbacks a little bit in a sense. And, you know, they also kind of, you could blend that together for a good offense for Tyler Shugg. So, we'll see. And I think with Kellen Moore, the biggest thing is to, you know, I've been critical of this too. There's too many veterans on that team, too many guys. And I don't know if that's a problem, but the point is this roster looks very, very familiar to me of the last 4 or 5 years. And I've been pushing the Saints to go for the full rebuild, you know, but there are some plus to having veterans. When you're Kellen Moore and you're a young head coach, you want those guys to help you out, like a Cameron Jordan being there. Hey, if Cameron Jordan buys into what you're selling Kellen Moore, that goes a long way. Same thing with DeMario Davis.
Yeah, and you know, Gilberto, I wanted to bring this up. You might say, no, they are old. I mean, I played till I was 37, but I look at like DeMario Davis. I look at Cam Jordan. I look at Honey Badger. I mean, come on, who loves Honey Badger more than Louisiana? LSU. What? I mean, he's like unbelievable, one of the greatest players ever. But you know what? I said, somebody got to beat him out. You might say, we got to go in a different direction. Listen, everybody wants to get young, but you got to beat out the wily veteran. I think it'd be interesting to see Cam Jordan. I mean, the first OTA, you know what was crazy? Cam Jordan, all of a sudden, you know, they're putting in a new scheme, 3-4, he's standing up. Now he got to drop back in coverage. And he rushed the passer, and the coach is telling him, Cam, well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in coverage. It's like, oh, man, I forgot. So he's kind of learning what to do on the fly because he's never had to do that. But looking at Mike, help me out with the guy from the Commanders, Chase.
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Okay, all of a sudden, can you imagine at times you might see Chase Young or Cam Jordan? You know, they got the flat, you know, flat to curl in
Carl
the zone.
Carl Grandison.
Yeah, Carl Grandison. They all having to do something different because you look at the 3-4. You know why Saints fans are not against the 3-4 if that's your base? Because the damn Dome Patrol. No, the heyday in the NFL pro football history, we ran a 3-4 to Dome Patrol. Now you got to have four studs, a linebacker. Now that might have be a ways to go. But that's why that could be a base, even though everyone's doing nickel, the extra defensive back. But you know what? If you could show the coach that I understand my responsibility, rush the pass, or now and then go in coverage, that's not a bad thing. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling. You know, you look at them and being a Pat with all the sacks, being NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Ricky Jackson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. You'd be surprised how many times they dropped in coverage and discouraged the quarterback from not throwing that out route because they could fly and get that pick or cover the curl, the flat, and all that stuff. So, no, it'd be interesting to see with Coach Staley, the defensive scheme. But the Houdan Nation, we're not against a 3-4 because we have a track record with that being amongst the best ever in NFL history.
Gilberto, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, man. Great stuff. Love to have you back on, talk some more Saints and NFL and real soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time. This was fun.
Gilberto Manzano does a great job. Man, when you're writing for Monday Morning Quarterback, hey, you know what you're talking about, because they don't just hire somebody off the street to do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.